Yesterday, India's prime minister turned over some of the state's investigation of the attacks that left 164 people dead to Pakistan. That, he described, was so sophisticated, the attack was so sophisticated that the attackers must have had help from official Pakistani agencies. Nazas Afros, the BBC's South Asia editor, is following the story for the BBC, and he joins us from London. Good morning, Nazas.
Good morning.
What is the evidence?
The evidence, we do not know. The Indian authorities, they have handed over. It's a dossier, we understand. It's a dossier which they have put together for the last 5-6 weeks after the arrest of the sole surviving gunman and further investigation. And they have handed over to the Pakistani authorities. They have not been made public. But yesterday, Indian foreign minister also met with quite a few diplomats, which they call friendly countries, diplomats from friendly countries, ambassadors and high commissioners from around the world, at least 25 of them we understand, and also shared the same information with them, but it has not been made public yet.
Some of the reporting has suggested that the evidence includes details from interrogations, from information from some of the recovered weapons and intercepted communications. How did Pakistan respond?
Well, Pakistan only responded today officially. Yesterday, it was handed over to Pakistan. And after that, we saw in the Pakistani newspapers this morning, they were quoting officials, unnamed officials, saying that they were rubbishing the dossier largely. They were saying that it is inadequate. It is not concrete proof. And today, in Pakistani parliament, the junior foreign minister of Pakistan, he also said the same thing, repeated the same thing. So the official line of Pakistan is going to be, this is inadequate, this is not enough, this is not concrete proof, we want more evidence. And so I think it is just that kind of blame game that will that has been going on for the past 5-6 weeks ever since the attacks happened in Mumbai. So the Indians, almost every day on a day-to-day basis, they are creating headlines by blaming Pakistan every day, and they're raising the game. So today, when the Indian prime minister, actually when he had a meeting with all the chief ministers, the chief ministers of all Indian states, in which he mentioned that the sophistication and all other evidences that we gathered, it is quite likely that this gunman, the attackers, had support from official Pakistani agencies.
And in addition to that, yesterday the foreign minister then made a request of India, and let's listen to that request.
As far as the government of Pakistan is concerned, we ask only that it implement the bilateral commitments that it has made at the highest levels to India and practices her international obligations.
So what did he mean by implement the bilateral commitments, and what is India seeking, and is whatever India is seeking going to be enough to satisfy what many Indians are going to feel need to be done by Pakistan?
Well, I don't think there is any sort of official bilateral agreement. It is the understanding. You know, there is this South Asian Cooperation Group, which is called SARC, South Asia Regional Cooperation. They have their annual summit, and they also have their ministerial level meetings. So there is some consensus in the SARC meetings, and also bilaterally with all the South Asian countries, that fighting terrorism or fighting extremism is one of their main agendas. So this is something he's referring to. This is what he saying, that this is Pakistan's commitment to fight terrorism, and they should deliver that, they should implement it. And India in the past had always accused Pakistan of sponsoring. If you go back 7-8 years, then we at that point we see all the statements coming out of Indian officials, ministers. They had been even saying that it was state-sponsored terrorism. After that, they have had quite a few meetings. There was confidence-building measures. The peace process was in place for the last 4 years, and they were coming to some understanding that they would share information. You remember there was another attack in Mumbai in 2006. After that, it was decided that the two countries, they would sit together, they would share information, and they would try to help each other to root out extremism and root out terrorism. This is what he has been referring to.
And so at this point, how would you describe the tensions between the two countries that seem to have ebbed and flowed since the Mumbai attacks?
It is, I think, at a very, very critical stage. If you look at the statement by the Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh today, it is very significant in my opinion, because Indian Prime Minister is a very measured man. He has not really raised the bar so high in the last few weeks. It was other ministers, the foreign minister and the home minister, they had been giving statements to the media, local media, as well as international media. And they were gradually stepping up the pressure on Pakistan. They would like to see some kind of action from Pakistan. They would like to see that Pakistan actually has arrested some people and are ready to hand over some of the people. Of course, Pakistan is not going to do that. They are not going to hand over anyone to India. I mean, the Pakistani domestic political compulsion will not let the Pakistani politicians to do that. So they want something to happen. We must also remember that India is going to face a general election. Indian parliamentary elections are due in April. So this is also, to some extent, for domestic consumption. The Indian government, the Congress-led coalition government, which is going to face the electorate in 3-4 months' time, they also would like to show to its electorate that they are not weak.
That they are doing something to address
these
issues.
Exactly.
Yes, Nazas Afros, thank you. Nazas Afros is the BBC South Asia editor, and he was reporting to us from London.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.